Ross Atkins is the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He and Mark Shapiro faced their season's ticket holders last night, and Ross Atkins joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. That went pretty well, I thought, didn't it?
Yeah. Jeff, are you asking me, Ross?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, you know what? The fans were great. Great turnout. Great to see that energy. I think Kevin being there, that's the highlight, man. You know, you bring somebody with that energy into that environment, and it just changes the tone, the atmosphere, and reminds us all that this game's about the players. And ultimately, the fun part is when, you know, we're watching guys run around on the diamond. So, and that just takes us a little bit closer to it, hearing from Kevin and Gibby. But yeah, great energy. Every interaction I had with every fan was authentic, genuine, just focused on winning, focused on this year, and really was a great night. I enjoyed it.
Hey, when do you, as a general manager, start really focusing on spring training? You know, because I made the point that this event, and I've gone to Ross, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 of them. It always seems to me to be, it's like it's almost the end of the off season. It's when people start getting sort of ginned up for spring training. You know, yeah, there's still a few, you know, issues with contracts and all that. But by and large, I think the fans start using this almost as a leadoff point. When do you start going into a spring training mindset, if there is such a thing?
Well, you know, there's kind of two ways to answer that. One is, you know, you're always thinking about things in life, not just in baseball, but in any business and any management position. You're always trying to think of things on a quarterly basis and 4 months out, 1 year out. You want to stay way ahead of the game. So, you know, typically you're thinking about spring training 4 months prior to spring training, mm-hmm. as you're building out your depth. And, you know, in my case, I've been here for 2 months, so I would be lying if I said I was thinking about the Blue Jays spring training for 4 months. But obviously, it's been unique here this year for me. But when you really get into that, answering it more directly, you know, just going into that mindset, I think that's about right now. You know, mm-hmm. I'm having conversations with GMs and managers that are already there. So now you're shifting over in towards, okay, we're closer to knowing what our team is going to look like. We're closer to thinking about getting guys prepared for day one. And that's when a lot of your energy shifts towards, okay, what decisions do we have in spring training? How do we best prepare the players for those decisions? What goals do we have for them short-term and long-term? And how do we articulate those to them in a way that is including them in the process, asking them how we can help them, and put the players in the best frame of mind to be great. So, you know, I think from a preparation standpoint, you're 4 months out, but fully going into the mode of, okay, opening days around the corner. That's today. That's yesterday. I talked to two GMs yesterday that were already at spring training.
Ross, the team has announced that David Ardsmuth has been signed to a minor league contract. Can you confirm, is Gavin Floyd signed?
So I'm not going to comment on any deal until it's done.
Okay.
We're certainly interested in Gavin and are hopeful he would be an interesting piece to add to our team.
All right.
As, you know, Gavin has a great set of experiences.
Mm-hmm. And and I'll ask you about Ardsmuth in a minute, but I mean, would he be a candidate for the bullpen, or are you looking at him as perhaps a starter in the minors? I know he had the elbow injury. I know he was with you guys in Cleveland last year, made a couple of appearances out of the bullpen. Would he be viewed as a reliever if in fact he were to sign here?
I think if we're able to get him here, he could do either. And
okay.
That's what's interesting. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he is once he gets ramped up into spring training. If it's here, great. But it really, time will tell, because he hasn't pitched in a while.
Mm-hmm. All right, and as for David Ardsmuth, a veteran arm, 33 games for the Braves last year, a known commodity, I would say.
Yeah, man. You know, you guys said it well at the start of the show. When you can get a guy like that on a non-roster deal, non-guarantee, that has those set of experiences every year, there's anywhere from 5 to 10 of those stories of guys that don't have a contract, come into spring training, and end up the next year getting guaranteed 2 and 3. Scott Kazmir, Blanton, mm-hmm. you know, these guys that they're, you know, you have to have reason and rationale to believe that's going to happen, to commit to them. You don't want to just take flyer after flyer, because then, you know, you don't have the best opportunity if those numbers get too great. So you find out where those, the rationale and reasons that you have to believe that those chances are higher for others. And that's when you commit those spots, in my view.
You know, Ross, one of the things we've seen in the past couple of years, we certainly saw this year, is middle relievers getting multi-year contracts, guys who in the past might have been in on a one-year deal or brought in a minor league invite. Suddenly now these guys are, you know, the Tony Sipps of the world, and I'm not casting aspersions on Tony Sipp, but you've got guys who are middle relievers, even specialists, getting 3 years and $18 million. Does that make it harder for you as a GM to kind of build a bullpen, you know, to look for value amongst the relief corps when you've got guys who are getting a lot of money, and perhaps that means that the other middle relievers are expecting a little more as a result?
Sure, in some ways, yeah. But I think why that's happening is because, you know, teams are figuring out better ways to quantify what contributions are in terms of wins and how that impacts a team. And the more you can do that and find inefficiencies or efficiencies, that's when the market shifts a little bit. So when you're having to pay, you know, X for a starting pitcher and you can pay Y for a relief pitcher, sometimes it just comes down to what you have and what your resources are. So I think that's driven up those prices for relievers, and that will make it more difficult to build out bullpens. But I also think that there's a reason that hasn't happened in the past, mm-hmm. and that's because of the volatility of bullpen arms. It seems to be that bullpen arms and bullpens across the major leagues are improving, and there are a lot of things to look at that way, but the sample size isn't great of successful relievers with those big contracts actually contributing to those levels. So, again, because of the volatility, it's such an interesting discussion because of how those guys get used when they're doing so well, mm-hmm. right? You know, there's just when they're hot, they're pitching. And you look up at the guys that have the ridiculous numbers of of appearances and innings and the workload and – you know, how long can that hold up for a guy? And so you don't typically see a guy that's getting those types of deals that didn't just have that workload, right? That's how they got the deal.
Sure. Yeah,
so that's a difficult balance.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's a double-edged sword. You're giving money to the guy because he's worked a lot, but in the process, you're going to work him a lot. And in your heart of hearts, you know at some point that something's going to snap or just he's going to lose – he's just going to lose effectiveness. I mean, it's a difficult thing. I that's why I asked, because to me it would make the job. I mean, Ross, I'm used to I've covered enough baseball. I'm used to teams bringing 50 guys in and saying, yeah, you know, here's our closer. We'll figure out the other 5 guys by the end of spring training. And you can't do that anymore.
No, you can't. I've never believed that's the best way. I mean, I think you've probably heard enough that I have so much respect for players, and so mm-hmm. when you tell someone that they have a legitimate chance to make a team, it needs to be legitimate. So that's where I feel like you really have to have strong reasons and rationale to believe why you feel these individuals have a great chance to make your team, as opposed to let's just throw as many out there and see who's hot. Then you end up making a spring training decision, right? And then those are never good either. So
both you and Mark last night were fairly optimistic. I know Mark doesn't necessarily like using that word. I've asked him about it in the past, but there seems to be a tone or a change in discussion about certainly getting Josh Donaldson signed to a multi-year deal and getting Jose Bautista re-signed. At least I've kind of detected that. I know that you guys are in the process, various stages with these guys, so I'm not going to ask you for details. But I will ask you this, Ross. You've been here 2 months now. Are you more confident of getting something done? We'll start with Josh and then Jose, but are you more confident of getting a multi-year deal done with Josh now than you were, let's say, a month ago?
To be honest with you, Jeff, the only reason that I'm not necessarily more confident, I just have a better feel for their interest and needs.
Okay.
So it doesn't, you know, listen, those are huge, huge commitments and challenges that are extremely complex, and there's two sides. And it's, and we have to, and I've communicated this to the players, we have to do what's in the best interest of the long term of the Blue Jays and try to do the same for every player.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can agree upon that, and other times those values don't fit. So that that has not changed. We haven't closed any gaps that way.
Okay.
But, you know, what I do have a better feel for is, you know, our organization, our team, and our desire for them to be on it. And that is what's increased as we've gotten to know them. Now, the likelihood of us acquiring has not increased, but mm-hmm. our desire has only increased.
You guys were able to, when you were in Cleveland, the organization was able to get a deal done with Corey Kluber, and he was a guy, kind of a late bloomer, you know, Cy Young Award at the age of 28. In some ways, I know different positions and different ages with Donaldson, but again, another late bloomer, wins an MVP award. Because he's a late bloomer, you know, he's farther away from free agency than other guys. You guys are really creative with Kluber's contract. Can you... Again, not to negotiate publicly, but would it take that type of thing to get something done with Josh where, I don't know if you'd call them escalator clauses, whatever, there are things in the contract that give him a little more at the back end based on performance?
Yeah, you know, absolutely sign me up. Any creativity, anything that helps bridge a gap, anything that makes sense for both parties. I mean, I can't say it enough. I'm sure it's crystal clear to you that I believe in win-win, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to win a negotiation. I want the player to feel good about it. I want us to feel good about it. I have a good deal for both sides. So that's hard to do. But the creativity, not having policies and rules, not having things and restrictions that prevent you from do that, I'm all for. Mark is all for. Because ultimately, I would hate to miss out on any opportunities for a lack of flexibility.
Right.
But, you know, I think they're a little bit in different categories. You know, great analogy. And, you know, I think the challenges are a little bit different, a little bit more unique. But, man, that is absolutely how we will approach it. And I'm glad you asked that.
Last question before we let you run. Spring training, as I said, is just around the corner, Ross. Those of us who have been to spring training for the past few years, what difference will we notice? I know Gibby and the staff is still there, same staff, but will there be some logistical differences to spring training under, you know, with you and Mark there, as opposed to what we may have seen in the past?
You know, I'm still learning about what was. And I, you know, what will be, I think I'm looking to complement, not make wholesale changes. So I think some of the changes you will see that are clear will be in resources. So sports psychologist, director of sports science, a team of strength and conditioning coaches working with the medical staff, working with the trainers that are led by a director of high performance, bringing on physical therapists, bringing on nutritionists, changing the way that our players are fed and hydrated and how we're paying attention to them to help them get on the field on a regular basis. I think anyone that has been around the camp will be able to see those things. I mean, I guess it depends on how much time you're spending in and around inside of them. But, you know, and then I think a little bit philosophically, you know, probably not in time spent, but I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of what was, but my philosophy on what I think is important and Mark's philosophy on what is important is including players in the process. So not mandating, not evaluating, but asking, how can we help you? What can we clarify? What do you need from us? How can we get better to give you the best possible chances to be great? And so those are what our meetings and tone, that's what our time spent is focused on. And of course, there's going to be times where we're focused on contracts and that, but that is a, you know, that's not the fun part. That's not, I mean, it's interesting, invigorating, and has good energy, but the fun part is helping players and connecting players and having a player development background. That's what I've always been focused on, is breaking down that barrier, is that we are here for you. There is no other reason. We're not here to build a team and just watch it go out on the field and play. We're here to help support you be great and realize all of your potential. So that's what we get fulfillment from.
Ross, it was great of you to join us today. Thanks so much. We'll do this again.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.